irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lowell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you. As I posted this morning, my very good friend Derek Murdoch had called me up a couple of weeks ago, and he said, there's this group that I want you to listen to. You should have them come on the show. They're really, really, really good. And as it turned out, I was able to schedule them in because they're in from New Zealand and they have to go back soon. And I was able to bring them in, and I'm really glad. And I just want to welcome you guys here to town. Andrea Lisa is my guest, and her band, the Andrea Lisa Band, does some amazing stuff. She's a great guitarist. She plays jazz and funk, and really good funk. And she's here today with her bassist, Nick Taylor. And I'm jealous of that bass that he has here. We'll talk about that in a minute. And I want to welcome you guys. It's really an honor to have you here on the show. And going through all the clips this weekend, it's just, it's a great sound. You're a great vocalist, great tone. Your guitar sound is really good, but you're a great player. So I want to ask you straight out, let me talk a little bit about your background. As I understand it, you're originally from South Africa?
That's correct, yeah.
And then when did you move to New Zealand?
I was really young, about, 7 or 8 years old, moved to New Zealand.
Okay. When did you start playing guitar?
I was 14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your influences in New Zealand. What was the music scene like?
Well, for me, my main influences are like the music that my parents were playing when I was growing up. So my mom was really into sort of kind of fusion and even like smooth jazz. Like she loved Crusaders and anything Randy Crawford, mm-hmm. Joe Sample, you know, Earl Clue, all that kind of stuff. And my dad is like 100% soul man, just loves listening to like Al Green and the Temptations and Smokey Robinson, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So and then also I have three siblings who are, they're all much older than me, so all of their music was like R&B, like sort of like that Toni Braxton, Whitney Houston, and who's the other, like, even my brothers used to listen to, my brother Graham got me into listening to Bobby Brown and New Edition. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of made hip to so many different things, and that's my main influence, like, was music in the house.
So that your family was your main influence, but what was on radio? What were you listening, to radio a lot at that time?
I think, yeah, that time it was kind of like all the top 40 stuff, like.
But that wasn't as big of a deal.
No, like, I, I always remember my dad used. Oh, actually, my dad listened to a lot of music. He used to play like the Bee Gees and George Benson mm-hmm. and Celine Dion. Like it'll be all,
a little bit of everything.
But Eric Clapton, mm-hmm. actually. And he would play, and then because my sister would like buy all these Toni Braxton things, so we would be. He'd be going through the DVDs on Sundays, and he'll play all of them like back to back. And I remember being like, oh, do we have to listen to the Bee Gees again? Like, or do we have to listen to George Benson again? This was when I was, mm-hmm. like, really young. And then when I was, like, an early teen, my dad would still play every Sunday DVDs, but they'd be different. But he'd always play the George Benson and the Bee Gees and Celine mm-hmm. Dion. Sometimes my mom wanted to, like, throw a couple of those out the window or, like, just hide them, but he played it every Sunday. And as I got older, I was, like, really digging listening to, like, the Bee Gees and George Benson and all the old ones, mm-hmm. as opposed, yeah.
Did you get into, like, Hendrix or any of that stuff, the Beatles or any of that? Or
not
was
so
not too much?
Not so much.
That's interesting. It's interesting yeah. because it definitely influenced in your sound. What about, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire and stuff
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that's my dad. Like,
your
that's
dad.
All his vibes, yeah. Like, he'll listen to the most random stuff. Like, sometimes he'll just play Queen for one day, like, really loudly. And, yeah, so, like, sometimes he would even play The Corrs.
Mm-hmm.
So, amongst his DVD collection. And, like, I've always found it interesting, like, watching people create whatever. Because I was mm-hmm. really into art as well. I just love making things. So I think when my dad would play those DVDs, I would just be watching it like, okay, what are these girls doing with like a violin? Like, mm-hmm. it's cool. Mm-hmm. I was always mm-hmm. fascinated by anything being done or made.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, lots of music.
Were there a lot of women playing? I mean, did you, when you were a kid, were a lot of girls playing guitar or playing any instrument? Was there a lot of music? Or were you pretty much unique in that sense?
I was. Like, nobody plays in my immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time. The reason why I actually started playing the guitar was my uncle and his family came over from South Africa
mm-hmm.
After we'd been in New Zealand for a few years. And mm-hmm. they hung out with us for a little bit before they got their place. And my cousin, who's my age, used to strum a few chords
mm-hmm.
in the church, and she brought her acoustic guitar over, and I was just kind of curious, so I was like watching it. It was just in my room because
mm-hmm.
she was in my room, and I said like, can I try it? She was like, oh, it's not a toy, like, you know. I was like, I think I was 14 at the time. I was like, but let me just try it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, okay. And then I just, the minute I like played a few strings, I was just like, whoa. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think on that same day or the day after, I like figured out how, like, I don't know, just like, I think it was Bob Marley.
Oh, like, okay.
I figured out like some
how to do the rhythm or just the chords?
Some lick. I think it was Redemption Song or something.
Do you remember the lick?
I don't even. Something like that.
You always remember. But anyway, no.
Yeah.
But now let me ask you this, because you were talking about them coming over from South Africa. Did you ever get into South African music?
I did,
like Johnny
actually.
Savuka and Johnny Clegg and Savuka.
Johnny Clegg. Yeah, so my dad had that. But I haven't really listened to
that's interesting, because
that stuff that
listening
much.
To your stuff, rhythm and especially counter rhythms are really important. Well, uh-huh. let me play this clip. This is called So Sweet, from the EP So Sweet, and take a listen. She does a solo. I pulled the solo out, and then when she's singing, listen to what she's doing rhythmically and melodically on the guitar as she's comping around her vocal, and we'll talk a little bit about that and what she did. But this is So Sweet. Take a listen. Thank you.
revolutionize what may happen today. In a weird way, you have made me better. And I see your eyes that shine and how you smile. What a beautiful thing, yeah, yes. Sometimes it seems to me so serene, and you're just like a harmony, embracing me, and you're just like a melody that rings over so sweet.
Beautiful song, and it's interesting how she's playing around. And I love the little groove that you're doing with the guitar. Now, let me ask you, is that the Ibanez that you have here? Is that what you used?
It is.
And then, did you use an amp, or were you going direct?
Yeah, I used a Fender Hot Rod.
Oh, Fender Hot Rod, okay. Because that's a great sound.
Thank you.
And it was interesting in trying to cut that. I was like, you know, she does this little intro, she does a little lead. And then she's, you know, so I wanted to show a little bit of the song because you're a singer too, and that's important. But then, like, okay, I'll cut it right after this, the chorus or whatever. And then she starts playing again. I'm like, nah, I got to put that in there. So it was too good. But then also, I just want to mention too, is one of the things that was really cool about that is what Nick was playing on the bass. You're doing these really great fills. Mm-hmm. Really. Now, let me ask you really quick. I'm going to take a little sidestep here. Your influences. Now, you're a native of New Zealand?
Yes.
So, get a little closer to the mic. Let me get you.
Alrighty.
There we go. So, let's talk about your background a little bit and your influences.
My first sort of influences that started out on bass were like Marcus Miller and Victor Wooten. Those were like the ones that sort of really stood out for me. Mm-hmm. And then in the last sort of probably 5-6 years, the people that I've followed a lot is like Yannick Guzdala and Hadrian Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in times of just doing a lot of transcribing of like Scott Ambush from like Spyro Gyra, and even like Melvin Davis. Like those probably be like my main cats.
So it was primarily a jazz fusion thing.
Yeah.
Not as much rock.
No.
Okay. Now, what's interesting is what he's playing on the bass, and Derek, chime in if you want to on this, because it sounds like almost like a fretless. He's sliding all over the place.
Yeah, he has a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Really nice touch.
But it sounds like a fretless. Now, you're using this bass on that?
No, I was using my Lackland on that one.
A Lackland?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice sound. But that's fretted, right?
Yeah, it's fretted.
That's a five string or four string?
Five string.
Five string?
Yeah.
No, but I mean that's an interesting sound because he's sliding around. It does sound like a fretless to me. But he's playing some really, really interesting parts in there. I'm going to play another one real quick since we're talking about great bass parts. I'm thinking of, well, and then I want to, we'll break it down a little bit too. Let's play Imaginary Me. I'm going to play this clip and listen to. You're playing classical, so. And what guitar are you using?
It was a Godin.
A Godin, okay. So she's playing classical and singing. Listen, so she's doing a little Ryan, and then the bass is in and around. So take a listen to this. This is a very cool arrangement.
Imaginary Me.
I love that. That's great. And he does that little line. He does a little turnaround. That was very, very,
just
very cool.
Just put that, you know?
Yeah. No, but all of it, just the depth and the support, what he's doing, because he's doing a lot of interesting things harmonically. He's not just staying on the root.
Right.
And I think that's very cool. And it's a very, for just, that's a quartet, right? The only other thing besides a guitar is there's some keyboards.
Yeah.
That's a pretty full sound for that. And it, a lot of it, it's the space where you have room to do stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
I love the bass lines on this. The EP is so sweet. I highly recommend that you get it because there's some really cool things going on there. But now, was that the Lachlan?
Yes.
That was the Lachlan there. Let's talk a little bit about the arrangements and your approach in your songwriting. Because there's a heavy rhythm thing going on in a lot of it. But it's subtle. It's not real in your face, but there's a lot of syncopation going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually just thinking something as you were talking about the rhythms. And earlier you mentioned, you know, African artists. I have listened through my older brothers. They listen to a lot of deep house music, which can go into even tribal house. So every time I've gone back to South Africa to have like a holiday or something, where I come from, like just outside Johannesburg, and when I'm in Johannesburg, the main thing is like deep house. And at first, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, turn it off, it's noisy. But the rhythms are super cool.
Show us a little bit of the rhythms to demonstrate what, because some people don't understand.
All right, so like on Imaginary Me, there's like a in a tribal rhythms, like an African vibe would be like 3, 4. When I was listening to this deep house stuff, actually my cousin in South Africa, she kind of made me, like, she would just be playing it all the time. And when I would listen to the songs, I'd be listening, like, to the percussion player or, like, all those extra drum parts that they program in. But, like, when you listen to really good deep house, there's going to be, like, amazing percussion, like, on anything tribal. So I think that it must have been, like, back in maybe 2012, 2010, actually, when I started listening to this tribal house and deep house. And there's a great band in South Africa called Mikasa.
Mikasa?
Yeah, you should check out. That'll be a great example of some of these rhythms that I think, to be honest, when composing, I don't even think about it. I don't think rhythm is like, I don't know, I don't really think about it.
Well, it's interesting because it's similar. There's a similarity a little bit to some of the Latin stuff that I've heard, but it's, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but it's like, it's hipper. It's kind of swings more. You know what I'm saying? But it's similar. It's almost like a, not a bossa nova, but like a variant, like a rumba type of thing.
It makes sense when you say it swings more, because if I think of like a bossa nova, it's like...
But you're doing it, and then you do that like syncopated, and then when he comes in and he counterpoints it, it's like it's much more complex. It's a very hip thing, but I mean, yeah, that's a great sound, and it's interesting because you can hear the influence. I don't know how old deep house is. I don't know the history.
It's not very old.
Okay, but you can hear the influences of some of the R&B and funk in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because they're doing, what they're doing is a lot of, like, you might end up doing on a song where you're using your thumb and slapping.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But they're doing it, spread it and out, where the guitar is doing it.
Right.
Which is kind of, and it's a cool sound. But I love the way those little rhythm things that you throw in, those little offbeats, you push the beat a little bit. You're a little head, you're jumping. which is, you know, it's a real nice, it's a refreshing sound. It's really. Now, do you want to try? Why don't we have you guys play something?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try something and so they get an idea?
I'll do. Maybe I'll. You want to do a vocal or instrumental?
What do you prefer?
Maybe I'll do a vocal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So set up the song.
Mm-hmm. This one is one that, like, lately I've been writing these songs with these guitar parts that, like, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, how am I going to sing over that? But, like, John Mayer always does that. Oh, he kills that. Like, you know, playing this big thing and then singing over it. Like, so anyway, this is one of those songs. It's called My Only Love.
Okay. Lovely song and great changes. What she's doing harmonically on the guitar is it's really, really, really nice. Now, did you study jazz?
I did.
So you studied jazz and harmony?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
That's where we met.
So you guys are... You know, you met. That's right, you met.
Yeah.
Well, tell us the story, how you guys met.
Do you want the real story or the nice story?
The real...
Okay, I'm going to give you the real story. We met both in our first year of university, and I was just like, okay, cool, like, whatever. We played in, like, some combos, and at first I was like, okay, not really a fan. Not of his playing.
But, just me, yeah.
I was just like, oh, yeah. And then I think in the third year, we started playing more, like getting put in the same combos mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we learned that we lived really close by. And then it was like, okay, well, we need to practice this thing for school. So, like, do you want to come over? And then basically we would started jamming a lot. And I think when we finished university, yeah, that was when I started my originals band. Mm-hmm. Went through a few different musicians and then got Nick and Lenny and Alex. And we've been together since.
Since then. Now, let me ask you something. You're writing the song, so you're sitting out, you're setting up the chords, and you're setting all of that stuff. Is it written out, or what's the relationship? Are you specific in what you want? Do you want certain things on the bass to support, or the other instruments, or do you pretty much let them just come in and contribute to it? I mean, what's the writing process?
I usually write most of my songs quite specific. Like, 9 out of 10 times I can hear the bass line that I want. And then other times, a lot of the time when I write a song, I like to get together with Nick first, because I feel like we add chords on top of that. Like, it goes from the groove of the drums and the bass. So once we have that sorted, then I feel like anything else can fill
in. So you two work together. Mm-hmm. And but, I mean, so it's charted out, right?
In my head, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll be like, can you play this? Whatever. Or I'll try and figure it out mm-hmm. on the guitar, and I'll show Nick. Mm-hmm. And now and again, like, actually, there's one song that Nick came up with his own bass line, mm-hmm. Like pretty much like all of it, which is FTI. That one is his. But a lot of them we kind of, some of them we kind of like, I'll say, okay, like this, like that, and then Nick will try it, and then we'll try it again. No, something different, a little bit more like this, and until we'll spend hours doing it, figuring out the bass line.
Oh, okay.
But, most of the time, I kind of have it in my head.
Even the little ornaments that he does, the little cool
like
thing?
An imaginary me, like that. That's all Andrea, like,
including that little boo.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And that's like,
amazing.
That was like one of the first like songs that she first taught me, and like that took ages to try and just.
Yeah, we sat for hours.
Getting that feel, that groove, and, you know, all those bits. So,
well, yeah. You guys have played long enough, so you know what mm. he can do. But, I mean, so, like, even, like, for example, in Missing Pieces, there's another a lot of bass going around, and you're moving mm-hmm. around. So you were specific about that. You worked it out, like, I want you to do this, I want you.
Uh-huh, but actually on that one, Nick kind of added his own vibe as well.
Okay.
Whereas, like, Imaginary Me, like Nick said, every single lick, yeah, I had...
Everything was specific.
Specific, yeah.
So...
On Missing Pieces, I feel like Nick's fills are his...
All right, let's play Missing Pieces so you can hear what we're talking about, because I want to... I think this is important to see the mm-hmm. collaboration. Mm-hmm. This is really interesting, and it's impressive, because that's pretty specific bass mm-hmm. stuff, and it works. And, I mean... Like a lot of those inversions that you're doing and stuff, you're working that out. Mm-hmm. You're saying, okay, I want you to do that. Because mm-hmm. yeah. harmonically, you do some really interesting mm-hmm. things. It's not root and fifth. It's you're going mm-hmm. in some different areas. And the chords over that, it really interplays a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it blends very well. But let me go ahead and play Missing Pieces so you get an idea of some of the stuff now. So you basically, this gave you a chance to embellish and put some stuff in there.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Without your kiss to stop, my day is worthless. Who's left here to
That's very cool. I love those. What you're doing on the bass is just really, really tasty. I love that stuff.
Thank you.
And it gets a great tone.
Serious tone. I love it.
Yeah. Now, let me interject real quick and ask you what. Now, that's the Lackland?
No, that was King Smith.
King
that
Smith.
I was using
Ken
on that
Smith.
Recording.
Oh, very cool.
That's my kind of bass.
Now, what kind of strings are you? We better get into your tone a little bit. Is that was a fretted one, right?
Yep, that was fretted as well.
And then what kind of strings are you using?
That would have been probably Alexa's on there. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been Alexa's.
And is that what you use most of the time, or what do you have on this bass?
These I've got DRs on at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then tell us a little bit about this bass.
So I've had this for almost a year and a half now. It's my ultimate bass, honestly.
And that's a Brubaker?
Yeah, Brubaker. At the time, I was playing my Ken Smith, and I didn't have any intentions of buying another bass like most other musicians. it sort of came up, and I was like, I was quite interested to find out what it was all about. And managed to get my hands on it and trial it out, and I've just loved it since.
What's the body made out of?
I'm actually not too sure. Can't remember the specs on it
because the wood is beautiful on this thing, and it doesn't look like standard what we would see. It's not like rose. I don't know if that's rose. That looks like maple.
It's bird's eye maple, I think it is, on the fretboard, which apparently you don't tend to use that too often. I think it's a swamp ash. Don't quote me on that, but I'm.
And then what pickups? Anything is it his pickups?
Yep, so that's standard Bartolini pickups.
Oh, Bartolini's.
I've actually got an Aguilar preamp in there. And what's unique about this bass is it has interchangeable preamps. Mm-hmm. You can get pretty much any electronic sort of kit from any bass made up, and you can slot it straight in.
That's really nice. No, that it has a nice sound. It's really, 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 really nice. Mm. Now, let me ask you about your guitar. Have you used anything else, or do you use anything else besides the Godin for the acoustic guitar? And what model is this of the Ibanez?
It's just an Encore, AS-83. I've had it for, I think, about 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Now, do you use anything else, or is that your main
axe? It's the main one. I've bought a lot of guitars over the years and then sold them because I just don't use them. Like, I really want to try it. We were talking about Strats early on. I love Strats. I just love the sound of them. Every time I play one, I'm just like, oh, it just feels weird. And then, I don't know. But I love listening to them.
I recommend that you try out the G&L. It's called the Doheny. It looks like a Jazzmaster, but it has the whammy bar on it, and it's new. They just came out with it, but the pickups, they really worked on the pickups. It's an interesting guitar, but if you like the neck, you'll like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a...
Yeah, because it's the neck is my thing.
Yeah, but it gets a great jazz sound, but it does everything. I mean, we had them on the show, and I was amazed at the versatility of the guitar. It was
cool.
Really amazing. But check that out. It'll kind of give you the best of both worlds.
Okay.
But you have the whammy bar on there, too, so you can do vibrato effects and stuff like that. But this is this just stock?
Yeah. I did put some Gibson pickups in it just recently.
Those are PAFs?
I think it's something 57.
57s?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's like the older style because it's a very mellow sound. How do you like this compared?
I only put this pickup in, maybe a year ago, probably just before Missing Pieces.
Okay, yeah. So this album was the original pickups.
So, yeah, album was the original. And, I put the Gibson ones in because I thought just the only thing that had bothered me a little bit about my previous ones was just the E string. It tended to sound a bit light.
Which one, the lower or the upper?
The upper. I mean, to me, I'm not like a crazy gear person. I feel like, you know, if you give, you could give Eric Clapton or George Benson the ugliest guitar ever, and I bet it'll still sound good. You know, that's kind of
I know what you're saying. They say that about Jeff Beck. You can give him a slab of wood with strings on it, and it'll sound amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that's true. So you basically, it's just straight guitar. Now, you use for playing, you use the hot rod for live?
Yeah.
And then any other amps? Do you use anything else?
No, not really.
Okay. What about when you get distortion? Like, for example, an FTI, you get dirty in there. Is that your amp, or are you using any type of pedal?
No, I'm using a Boss Overdrive OD3. I've been using that pedal for years, and I'm just like, I've tried a whole bunch of other overdrives, then I'll just go back to that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Even in the studio, you don't turn the amp up?
I like turning it up a little bit live. I think that's cool.
Because you get what I call bloom. You get a little bit of distortion.
It's really warm.
Yeah.
As opposed to a pedal.
But you're a tube girl. You like the tubes.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, the tubes. Well, let's go ahead and let's play FTI. Was that the one you were talking about? So you can hear the distortion on that. And that's the Fender Hot Rod, the overdrive, and this guitar.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And this was, again, this was all mapped out. This was pretty specific, the parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take a listen to this. This is a very cool song. Here's FTI. And that's just that overdrive. That's just that overdrive pedal.
And a little bit of delay, I think. But I don't have my delay like sort of where you hear the delay. I have like a really long kind of the best way that I kind of like that Pat Metheny way. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a delay, but it's kind of like more like a sustain kind of thing.
Yeah, you use it to give you more sustain.
Yeah.
So no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I just had that and that overdrive.
No, it's a great sound, and now let me ask you this: is that the rhythm pickup, the neck pickup, or do you use both pickups?
I use the neck one, like most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll use like just a bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
During like some comping, yeah, and sometimes occasionally I'll use both for solo, mm-hmm. if I want it to be a bit brighter and like. Sort of that kind of stuff, like FTI, and we like to... Have you heard of a band called Casiopeia?
Yes.
Yeah, we do a few of their covers.
Oh, very cool.
Love those songs. They're so cool. Our drummer got us into listening to a lot of Casiopeia, and even Nick loves the bass player. But, yeah, when we're doing those, I'll kind of use brighter, add the neck
and
in there.
And I have to mention, we were... Derek and I were looking at each other when we were listening to the clip, and he does like this, like he hits the low note, hits a high note, and he slides it. That's very cool. I mean, there's a lot of little, besides the snap and the thumb slap, mm-hmm. you're doing all these little cool little, it's ear candy to me. I mean,
oh yeah, definitely. You know, the choice of notes, I just love it. You know, and the placement, put them in the right, just the right spots. You know,
mm-hmm. Right. But yeah. you basically sat down and mapped that out together.
I think Nick came up with the slap part himself.
The slap, but what about that boo-doo?
I think that was kind of one that Nick kind of did.
I think I heard the song, like, Andrew jamming it a few times, and then I think you started
by a
jamming.
Few times, meaning, like,
so what are you playing there? Just play it for us. Just show it. Great sound. It's a really good sound. But no, it's very interesting how you guys, the working of and how the parts gel together. Because there's a lot of space. You know, even with the quartet, you're not playing a lot. But it fills and there's enough space in there you can hear all the parts, to me. Part of it, too, is the recording. Who was the engineer on it?
Roy.
Because it's a nice, he did a nice job. Everything's really clear. You can hear it.
Oh, no, actually, no, sorry. That's wrong engineer.
That was Vivek.
Vivek Gabriel.
Yeah. Vic Gabriel? Yeah. Because that's the thing. You can hear all the parts. And then even with you singing, you can hear all the things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get muddied
he's
up.
He's good. Yeah.
But I mean, also, too, it's the arrangement. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to hear how much space. You're doing interesting things, but you're not doing a lot. It's not just a cluster of notes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're moving around on the bass, but it's not busy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not...
Mm-hmm. Never getting in the way.
Yeah. And it kind of works. So, you know, there's like a hole there and you fill it.
We work pretty hard on that. Like, even just fills. Mm-hmm. Like, if... I always try and make sure that we never cover up each other's pickups. So if I've got a vocal part, it's like, no bass fill there, you know. But as soon as I finish it, there you go.
Yeah, you're free to go. Well, we're almost out of time. I told you it was going to go by fast. I want you to go ahead, and you were going to play an instrumental piece. I want you to play something, then we'll talk a little bit about what you guys are doing and what you're up to, and then we're going to play Lost in Translation, which is another instrumental to take us out. But go ahead and let's have you play something live. I'm going to turn the vocal mics off.
Okay. Thank you.
beautiful. Great. Now, we're out of time. I hate to just like, that's just a beautiful moment. Like, but we got to go. What's going on with you guys? Are you, I know you're going to be in LA for just a little while longer, and then you're back in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just, we're going to be hanging out here only till Sunday. And we have a, like a little artist showcase thing on Friday night at a place in Van Nuys called My First Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So that's this Friday. I think it's yeah, called the Living Room. It's near the Van Nuys Airport. And anyway, Sunday we're flying over to Perth, Australia, to go spend some time with my family. And we may do a gig there in Perth. And hopefully we'll be back in LA pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah. But we might go to Sydney, maybe back to Auckland.
Any gigs over there planned, or are you not yet?
Not really.
Okay.
So we're waiting for our drummer is just recovering from a hand injury, so we're kind of waiting for him to heal, and then we'll get back into the band stuff.
And then any chances of a new album?
Yes.
Nudge, nudge.
Nudge,
so
nudge,
we'll definitely
nudge.
Have to have you come back for the new album.
Definitely.
So everybody, also too, just so you know, www.andrealisa.com. Keep an eye out and check that out, because you can see what she's up to and what she's doing. If you get a chance, if you guys are free later in the week, take them down to GNL and let her try that guitar. I really recommend that. I think okay. You'd have fun. They're a great bunch of people, and that's Leo Fender. You'll see Leo Fender's office where he worked.
Okay.
That's historic. That's where all the Fender guitars were built. Or design, where he designed a lot of the guitars. And then, Derek, what are you up to?
Just trying to stay in trouble.
That's
you know, I just did a gig in San Francisco with Denise Williams.
Mm.
You remember her?
Oh, no, I never. No, of course I remember Denise Williams.
Yeah, and that was a fun gig. The two sold-out shows. It was fantastic.
So you staying in town, or are you going to be going out again?
I've been going out a lot on the weekends.
Okay. Yeah, anything coming up this next weekend?
I got a gig coming up. Who's that with? I can't remember who that's with. Last week was with the Fifth Dimension. I think I got another gig coming up with them.
Okay.
Fifth Dimension, yeah.
And then where else can they track what you're doing?
DerekMurdoch.com.
DerekMurdoch.com. Yeah. And then also, too, you were mentioning you have an Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Andrea Lisa Band.
Andrea Lisa Band. I gotta go follow.
And on Facebook, there's a fan page on there if you just search Andrea Lisa.
Okay.
And so, YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube.
YouTube. Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming down, and I hope that we'll see you back soon. I can't wait to hear the new album, and when you get it, you know, let's set up something again, and we'll go through it, and we'll just go through the whole thing and talk about it and analyze it and stuff. And love what you guys are doing. You have a great sound, both vocally and guitar-wise.
Thank
you. And, dude, you are a monster on bass. That's all I can say. I love the stuff that you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take us out with Lost in Translation. It's an instrumental clip, and it's a really tasty thing, too. Everybody, have a great night. And, Derek, thank you so much for introducing me to these guys.
My pleasure.
It's just it's a real honor to have you guys here. So anyway, everybody else, have a great week. We will see you next week. But check this out. This is Lost in Translation, the Andrea Lisa Band.